Welcome to the GOGcast, brought to you by XSplit Broadcaster. Simple yet powerful, live streaming and recording. And now, your host, Leah.
Welcome to the Girls on Games podcast. My name is Leah, and I'm your host for this show. This is episode number 159, and we've got another excellent one. Why, you ask? Because I got to talk Slime Rancher with Allie and Kara, who is the community manager from Monomi Park, who made the wonderful game called Slime Rancher. And that's an excellent interview that we have for you in topic of the show. Before we get into topic of the show, of course, want to introduce you to the friendly voices around this digital table. Catherine, how you doing?
I'm good. It's a sunny day for once.
Yay! Get to go outside. Bring those Switches outdoors and play some games.
Ooh, it's actually pretty smart. I might do that.
Simon, how you doing, bud?
Doing fantastic. I got a French press at the behest of Catherine and Pascal, and Ooh. It's the best decision I've ever made.
Yeah?
Coffee is like, fuck your egg. This coffee in a French press is so fucking delicious.
I know.
Oh, God. It's a bit more work, but it's like...
Well, barely any work.
Keurig just honestly makes coffee flavored water. That's
pretty
what
much.
It does.
This is, this is second cup of the day, and it's woo!
Nice.
Fantastic.
Nice. Before we get into what everybody's been playing, of course, want to remind you, if you're enjoying this show, love if you could subscribe to us. You can track us down on Apple, iTunes, Google Play, iHeartRadio, Spotify, and Podbean, where we host this show. All right, guys, it's time. We need to talk about all the games we've been playing. I feel like I'm looking at our list here, and I feel like it's a recap of last week with a twist.
Yes.
What do you think? Yeah?
Yeah.
All right, Kat, get into it. What you've been playing?
Well, still on Far Cry, but Stardew Valley co-op beta, bitches!
Yes!
Finally! So, Lunchtime Gaming has been farming with Alice at work on her little Yubi farm.
Nice!
Where we planted parsnips and things like that, so we're having a lot of fun with that. I can't believe how much fun it is to play Stardew Valley with somebody else.
It's unbelievable. I started playing with Stephanie, and I'm just like, and she hasn't, like, after 100 plus hours in that game, I'm like, I know it inside and out, but there's still new things, and that's what's exciting.
Yeah, because they added content. Like, Concerned Ape worked on some more, like, single player content while Chucklefish programmed the co-op mode, and it's just so much fun. And I checked. Pascal's been playing with his friend too, and they're into summer already, and they have an epic farm, and he's like, yeah, Alex is farming and I'm mining, and they're just like fucking already ranking in the cash like crazy. I'm just like, oh, that's so much fun. I love Stardew.
It's like, that's exactly what's happening with me and Steffi. It's like the beginning of the game where it can be slow is like totally fast tracked because you've got two people doing it. But what's really interesting is like discovering how multiplayer works and how that changes the game a bit, and like about how the achievement works and like triggering certain cutscenes and all that kind of stuff. It's really interesting to see how it pans out. But I think you, me, Simon, Allie, we should do a stream one day where we all just have this one farm.
That'd be really
fun. I think
fun.
It would be hilarious. I think we need to organize that one day.
That'd be fun.
Yeah.
Most definitely.
Simon, did you get to try it at all yet?
Not at all.
Okay.
I don't have friends. No, it's not true.
What are we then? Honestly.
No, I haven't. I watched people stream. Barry from Game Grumps, who left Game Grumps, has been streaming it with his girlfriend. So I've been watching it, and it looks really cool. Looks really, really cool. So yeah,
let's organize that for once I'm back from Toronto for work.
I'm down, super down. I mean, are we gonna Xbox or PC or?
Oh, it has
to
be PC right
it's
now
PC.
Because
it's on
beta. I mean, I don't know if it'll be released by that time, but I think we could all do it through PC, and it'll be easier.
Yeah, it's coming to PC first. I don't know. They didn't announce when consoles were going to come out, but it's PC, and then it might be... I wouldn't be surprised if their priority is Switch, because Stardew Valley is really big on Switch.
After. Well, on PC, I feel like it's probably easier to organize with Steam servers and stuff, so, like, it's...
Yeah.
Because they go through Steamworks and everything, so I'm guessing it's probably simpler. That's why they're probably
it's
doing the better.
It's really easy to start the game. It's like one person becomes, like, the lead, and it's their farm. You can actually open it up to other, like, farms that you've had in the past and open it up to other players, which is really cool. So, but yeah, if we start a farm from scratch, it's like one of us becomes lead and the other three are farmhands. So it's pretty it's pretty neat.
The host needs to be there for the game to
Exactly. Yeah. Okay. They're the lead. So they can go in and play their farm at any point. And they can invite people in at any point.
Okay. So like so like, we don't need to be four. For example, if we start a game with the four of us, like, I'm the host, and then I play another day, and then there's only Cat available, then it can only be her. It's fine, you know? I don't need to be four.
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
Okay, cool. Cool. Yeah. That's cool content. Nice.
And in other news, it sounds like, Simon, you finished God of War?
Yes, well, finished. I finished the main story, of course. There's still a lot... Well, I don't want to say a lot to do. I feel like there's one big thing that you still kind of need to do. It's just probably the... So it's not really a spoiler. But basically, there's, you know, throughout the game, you find vaults with Valkyries in it. And they're the toughest enemies in the game. So, like, when you finish the story, the true endgame, quote unquote, is to kill all the Valkyries. So, but like, to get powerful gear enough, you need to go through Muffleheim, and then you like, there's a lot of stuff you need to do before you can beat all the Valkyries. So I'm probably gonna try it. I killed the first four. It wasn't too difficult, but then after that, you kind of have to start farming specific gear for like poison resist and that kind of stuff, because you'll get destroyed completely. So no, I've been holy crap, what a game!
Yeah.
Oh my god, like probably gonna do a written review still, but you know, just a little heads up. I think it, in my opinion, I enjoyed it more than I enjoyed Witcher 3.
Wow.
That's saying something.
Yeah. Mostly because Witcher 3, I felt, was a lot of throwing a lot of shit at you that wasn't necessarily meaningful. Like, there was a lot of side quests and a lot of stuff that really didn't bring anything. And whereas, you know, the main story in God of War, and even all the side quests are all kind of, like, interwoven together, and they all mean something, and they all give you something interesting. So, like, there's a reason to do them. Which I feel a lot of like points on the maps when like in Witcher 3 were just, you know, useless. Combat is really, 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 really fun. A lot of people are saying that it's a lot like Setsuna. I haven't played Setsuna Hellblade. A lot of people, but people are saying the combat is pretty similar in a sense. But I'm having it like, it's really, really fun. It's a little, I want to say it's a mix of like Dark Souls a little bit, because you have a dodging mechanic and that kind of stuff that kind of comes into it. And then, you know, got blocking, you get parrying, got a lot of stuff that can happen. And then, you know, and the axe, like, honestly, if ever Marvel want to do a Thor game, they got to use that throwing the axe and calling it bat mechanic for Thor's hammer, because it's fucking, you feel like such a badass. Like, you throw your axe, and then you hit a bunch of guys, and you call it back, and then when you call it back, you can hit people with it coming back to you. It's really fucking cool, and it's a fantastic game, really fantastic. I love it. I love everything about it. I'm so happy. It's been a while that I've played a single-player game for that long and gotten and hooked me that much. Like, I haven't played Siege in a week and a half, because I was just coming home and playing God of War, which is... something else. So
wild. I love that.
Yeah, fantastic game.
Me, it's been all Stardew Valley multiplayer and Far Cry, but we're not going to dwell on that. I'm still working on that finish in Far Cry. It's good. It's just that the fact that I have to sit in front of a TV and I can't move it around or anything, that finding dedicated time to sit in front of a TV is a challenge. But yeah, no, it's still going good, and I think I've really decided that Faith's area is the weak point in that game.
It is.
It really is. Because I went north. It is Jacob? No, hold on.
Yeah, Jacob is north.
Jacob, yeah. He's, like, I feel like as happy as I was when I was playing John's section. So yeah, there's definitely a hole for Faith, and that feels, that's too bad. Kat, I it sucks for you that you're playing Faith last.
But yeah, but I'm almost done. Like, yeah. And I haven't, since I'm not enjoying that area as much, I didn't do all the fun stuff at once. Like, I didn't go, like, get, liberate all the outposts and then be stuck with the shitty missions. But yeah. I'm almost done. I'm halfway through the last point to trigger her last story. So.
Okay, cool. Yeah, that I think it really is the angels, like the zombie thing, like that
they
drive
just,
me nuts.
The thing that just pop out of the blue, and it's just like there's a puff of smoke, and then it's a bear, and then you shoot it, and no, it's a cougar, and then you kind of like attacks you, and I'm just like, why?
I found an amazing machine gun, and nothing stands in my way now. Doesn't matter if it's the cougar or a bear or anything. But I did just rescue Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger is the best.
Mm-hmm.
That the bear, right?
Yeah, Cheeseburger, the bear.
What
and
a name.
Between the bear and, the like sniper arrow girl that's like the niece
Jess.
Of the guy that you meet in the beginning. Yeah, I'm Jess. Terrible with names. Have you realized this yet?
I'm
yeah,
Simon,
between
by the
two
way.
Of them. Thank you. between the two of them, I'm a powerhouse. That and my machine gun.
My current setup for taking outpost is Peaches and Boomer.
Oh, yeah.
I use Boomer because he tags the enemies.
Mm-hmm.
And then Peaches can do silent takedowns. Mm-hmm. And I'm just, like, in a bush, like, going around and just sniping people.
Mm.
And when they get too close, I send Peaches and then I bring her back and I just... Like, I've had a lot of no alarms or undetected.
Nice.
That's great.
Takeovers.
That's totally how I would play. That's how I played every other Far Cry game. And if there's an option for stealth, I will stealth.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's all about being sneaky, sneaky.
But it's just like, and sometimes I just kind of like, I take out the two alarms and then they become alerted to my presence. And then it's just throwing explosives. At that point, I'm like, fuck the undetected. At least they're not going to call back up. And it's just like, blow shit up. Like, everything is on fire and I'm in the middle and I'm like, ha, 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 ha,
God. Oh my God, that's the most evil laugh I've ever seen come out of Kevin.
It's too bad it's not a video podcast because you would have just seen Kat. Yep.
Guys, she's going on a power trip.
Uh-huh.
All right, let's get into news of the week right after this break. All right, it's that time again. News time. Kat, what do you got for us?
Well, we all know that in 2015, Satoru Iwata, who is the president of Nintendo, suddenly passed away.
Mm-hmm.
In the interim, it was Shuntaro Furukawa, and he's officially the new president of Nintendo. He is a younger gentleman, and he recently said that he aims to build a $1 billion mobile gaming business.
Mm.
So after all those years of like Nintendo being like, for us yelling at them to be, you have so many great IPs that would be so great for mobile.
Mm-hmm.
And great like addictive IPs that we sunk a lot of hours on the 3DS. Like that shit needs to be on mobile. And now finally somebody's like, yeah,
that makes sense.
It needs to be on fucking mobile.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So in a quote, he said, the idea that something will emerge that transform into something big in the same manner as game console is the defining motive of the Nintendo business. From what I can see, smartphone games are the ones I want to expand the most. So, I mean, they've had great success with Pokemon Go, Mario Run, and Fire Emblem Heroes.
They don't mention Animal Crossing?
No, Animal Crossing was a bit of a flop. And
I'm saying that with sarcasm. Lots of sarcasm.
And what was the other Pokemon game?
The flap one, the jump.
Magikarp
jump.
Yeah,
that was literally a flop.
Wow.
But not everything you do is going to be a great success, but they do have great success. So I am excited to see what Nintendo's going to do next for the mobile game. And I'm hoping they're going to do like a good premium Animal Crossing game.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, something that's good for the iPad, maybe the phone. Like you buy it for $5 to $10 with the possibility of buying extra shit, but you don't need to. And then just enjoying a good, like, Animal Crossing game that is, like, New Leaf style. Mm. Really, like, just bring that shit to iPad and tablets and everything. And I think they would have a great success that way. Something that's much, much deeper and more complex than whatever Pocket Camp was.
I mean, they're clearly still working out exactly how they want to bring it, so we'll see.
I think there's a lot of big IPs lately. I mean, I've talked about the Harry Potter Hogwarts history. Like, there's a lot of IPs that are just kind of stumbling around now trying to be like, how do we get into this mobile phone business for gaming? And there's a fine line between, like, making you want to spend money because you feel like it makes sense, and then just, like, blocking progression from spend money in order to move forward. And it's a fine line right now.
Yeah, because the Harry Potter game looks borderline unplayable.
Yeah, like, it reminds me
too much of what frustrated me with the Kim Kardashian game. Of like, yeah, you do a great setup, you put some very simple but addictive gameplay, and then I can't finish the first thing because I'm out of energy. I was just like, and you're already pushing me to buy stuff. I'm like, no, that's not that's disrespectful to me and my time and my money.
I am interested in this mobile RPG that Nintendo's doing. It's a new IP. It's called Dragalia Lost, and it's a mobile RPG. It looks pretty interesting, Japanese style too. So, you know, I'm gonna enjoy that.
It's a team up between them and Cygames. I've never heard of Cygames.
Me neither.
Probably I've heard of. Maybe
it's over in Asia and stuff. They have a lot of companies that we're not super familiar with.
Or like, I'm more one to know games and not so much the developer behind them.
That too. Yeah.
But yeah, so that's going to be a free to play RPG. So expect loot boxes.
Yeah. Yeah. And it sounds like they're looking at like Advance Wars and Professor Layton. That might be interesting.
Oh, Professor Layton would be great on mobile.
I am not a fan of Professor Layton. It is not for me.
No, but I mean, the mechanics are so like that and Ace Attorney. Those would make great mobile games. Amazing mobile games.
Mm-hmm. No, they definitely have lots of options. And then the question is like, what could you do games that would like connect on the go with the Switch? Like, to be able to like continue, have like a different experience by attaching your phone to the service, or, you know, like some way to continue it on the go. I always like the idea of like having a phone where like, you use it to like keep track of stuff. Like, remember when we did Assassin's Creed Black Flag and they had the map on the phone at the time? I found that super handy.
And you could you could manage your missions, like with
the ships,
your ship missions. So all the extra management that you do to unlock shit, you could do it from your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, Nintendo barely has an online service, so that might be asking a bit much to connect the phone to the Switch.
We're going to hear about that real soon.
It's coming.
Yeah, because E3 is around the corner. We're going to hear about that real soon. All right, Simon, what have you got for us?
I've got... So we talked about God of War. So you know, how people are saying right now, especially EA, are saying that, single-player games are dead, and it's not... No one wants to buy single-player games, and... Well, God of War says fuck you and sells 3.1 million copies in 3 days.
That's nuts.
That's absolutely insane, considering it's a PlayStation 4 exclusive. So it became the fastest selling console exclusive game ever.
Wow.
3.1 million in 3 days. That's absolutely crazy. For a game that has no loot boxes, that has no random element, that has only single player, that's pretty freaking crazy, and it just goes to show that create a good single-player game and people would flood to it and people will want to play it, and you will sell millions of copies. So, really fantastic news. Awesome for Santa Monica Studios. And I'm glad I bought a PS4 Pro.
It's going to be interesting to watch. And I guess as of this point, we can be on Game of the Year watch. This one's going to come up.
Oh, yes.
I just hope that it doesn't get drowned out by something else. I mean, that's kind of what happened to Horizon Zero Dawn last year. It was put up against Breath of the Wild. The question here, I think the game to beat is going to be Red Dead Redemption 2. I have a feeling that has such a high pedigree that game could do some crazy stuff. But what I keep saying Dad of War because you wrote Dad of War.
I know!
Yeah. God of War has going for it is super impressive. Right now, like, the question is what will that do? And people are talking about the Spider-Man game coming out in September too. Mm-hmm. Like, wow, it's an interesting time to be a gamer.
Yeah,
there's so many good games.
I think the top two is going to be Red Dead Redemption and God of War. Yeah. I think they're going to be the main contenders with Spider-Man and maybe Smash Bros. Trailing behind.
Yeah, Smash could do something. I don't know, but I don't think Smash Bros., because it's a fighting game, could ever get to that level of emotional connection that something with a story could.
No, but Smash Brothers is going to sell the fuck out. Like, yeah. They're going to sell a lot of Smash
for sure
Brother.
Oh, agreed, but I don't think it would get like it's not gonna get those like accolades of the same sort that a game would.
It's gonna be in the Game of the Year top fives. It's gonna be somewhere like every time a blog does the best games of 2018, Smash Brother is gonna be either in the honorable mentions or like in the lower part of that top five. That's for sure.
Agreed.
I was reading an article on Reddit the other day about the Redemption, you know, when they announced it and everything, and they were saying that, you know, before we get on the pre-order hype train, remember a few things about Rockstar, Take-Two, and Strauss-Zenick, who's the publisher? He said, we can do more microtransactions, all our games will have recurring consumer spending hooks, and we are under-monetizing our consumers. So I'm just hoping that won't fuck up an otherwise fantastic, fantastic game. I'm really hoping that, you know, they're going to be smart about it and do it properly. I mean, they've been shitting the bed with Grand Theft Auto Online, so.
What do you mean? That game is doing gangbusters. It's always in the top sales.
No, definitely. But, like, they are. It's definitely a pay-to-win model for Grand Theft Auto Online. Like, I was reading a couple articles and, you know, they're saying that items have become ridiculously expensive, making so that you have to buy you have to buy in-game money if you want to keep up with other people in the game and that kind of stuff, so. I mean, we'll see. I'm cautiously, you know, optimistic. I really hope it's a great game. I'm probably not going to play it. I haven't played the first one, not necessarily my type of games, but I really hope that it's fantastic.
My type of game.
Oh, it definitely is.
Yeah, but at the same time, Grand Theft Auto still delivered a great single-player experience.
Yeah, that's for sure.
Before jumping into the GTA Online and, you know, money with that.
The reason why they're able to hit the top sales and all that kind of stuff is because they keep feeding it. Yeah, no, we get you.
Let's be cautiously optimistic.
Yeah.
Agreed with you. Speaking of cautiously optimistic about Red Dead Redemption, which I am not, I am totally optimistic. Red Dead Redemption 2 trailer dropped this week. It was very much a sort of story style trailer. And lots of nuggets in there. I need to go back and watch it a second time around because I watched it at work and it was kind of like a blur. But with that being said, there's some really cool stuff happening in the community around Red Dead Redemption 2. I actually learned of a new podcast called Red Dead Red Dead Radio, yes, put out by Jared Petty, and it's really interesting because cowboys and like the Wild Wild West is not something that we have too much in our zeitgeist right now. Like, we don't talk about it a lot. Like, there is Westworld and there's the random TV show and maybe, but it doesn't really come up in movies, and it's not something very often explored in games, which is, I find, kind of surprising that we don't do more stuff with cowboys and that kind of stuff. So it's really interesting to like talk about Westerns in general, and I was enjoying his podcast about that. And I love Westerns.
I mean, if Red Dead 2 does really well, maybe we'll start seeing a trend. You know, we saw a trend in zombies. We saw a trend in so many things. Maybe eventually we'll see a trend in Western games starting up. It's going to happen. Eventually they're going to run out of Battle Royale and zombie things. So they're just going to switch to cowboys.
Yeah, exactly. It just leads itself so well, like that era, to exploration and open world games. Just because there's less technology and things are just undiscovered. Mm-hmm. It's just wild out there. It's wild. But yeah, no, I'm super stoked for that one. I have that pre-ordered. So, guys.
Also, just a little thing. I didn't put it in the document, but CD Projekt Red confirmed that they will be showing an RPG at E3. So, 99.9% Cyberpunk 2077. So, just saw that today. So, this should be nice. Keep an eye out for E3. Maybe I'll have watch E3 this time.
Maybe. Yeah, I think I'm actually going to take time off to watch E3. Because if not, I won't get to watch it because it's full tilt at work. So, yeah, a few days to myself. Yeah. We're all sitting in front of the computer and just
to watch Cyberpunk.
Live tweet and eat chips and watch E3. Speaking of that, if you guys feel like making some drinks, we actually have some really cool E3 video game inspired cocktails up on the website. So go check those out.
Yeah, from last year.
Yeah, or the year before even.
No, I think it was last year.
Okay.
Was it last year? Anyway, just go E3 cocktail in the search bar and you will get the PC Master Race Sangria.
Yeah, I made like a lemon lime style the Xbox thing. Xbox One. Yeah, the Xbox One is so good.
That was cool.
so much and then flavor. The other two were by Alice.
Yeah, Alice did the Nintendo Martini and then there was a blue PlayStation one as well.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, so... So tasty. I have another little bit of news.
Okay.
So I don't know what it is lately, but Pikachu seems to be coming up in the news a lot. I don't know why. I don't know why right now. But so here are two pieces of news around Pikachu and kind of about his backstory. So little did we know, Pikachu was not modeled after a mouse.
Literally says in his description, mouse Pokemon.
I know, but apparently that wasn't the truth. Okay. Pikachu is actually based on a squirrel.
I guess with the tail makes sense, I guess.
Another kind of parasitic rodents. Okay.
Yeah, Atsuko Nishida, who previously worked at Game Freak, revealed that the character's original designs for Red and Green were actually based on a squirrel and not a mouse. Mm. It's really interesting. So I'm reading this quote straight from Kotaku because I thought it was cute. At that time, I was really into squirrels, Nishida told Yumiuri, if I'm pronouncing that correctly. I am terrible with pronouncing Japanese names. That's what I've discovered. So I wanted a character to have puffy cheeks. Squirrels' tails are cute, so I wanted to have a tail. However, I wanted the character to have a lightning element, so I made it shaped like a lightning. So I guess that makes sense of why Pikachu has the little red dots on his cheeks is because he's like a squirrel so that when his mouth is full, they, you know, like it expands and like kind of gets red.
I see.
Yeah. So I thought that was really cute. I don't know why and at what point they decided to turn it into a mouse instead of a squirrel, but Pikachu, maybe the name because they wanted to go that direction. The other bit of news is that Pikachu was supposed to have an additional evolution.
Oh.
Gorochu.
Okay.
So, don't know why it was dropped as well. So same kind of interview style, same person they were speaking to, Atsuko Nishida. And that after Raichu, the electric mouse was supposed to evolve into Gorochu. And Gorochu was actually supposed to have horns and fangs. Oh. I don't know why Gorochu never made it into the game. Maybe because they realized that Pikachu was so damn cute and Raichu looked similarly. Maybe they were afraid Gorochu was going to look too scary or something like that. Mm. And they realized that Pikachu was the meal ticket for the franchise.
Originally it wasn't Pikachu. I think originally it was supposed to be Clefairy who was supposed to be the face of Pokemon. Mm. I'm pretty sure that that's what I had read. So maybe when they decided to make the Switch, they removed Gorochu and saying, no, we'll just make him the cute mouse and not fangs and shit.
Yeah. So I guess the whole hierarchy was supposed to be Pichu, Pikachu, Raichu, and Gorochu.
Well, I don't think... Is there any Pokemons with four evolutions other than Megas and stuff? I don't think so.
Pichu came in later.
Pichu is Gen 2 or 3, so that's probably... Mm. He was probably put in because Pikachu didn't have a third evolution as in Pikachu, because I don't think any Pokemons have four evolutions.
Other than
Megas and stuff.
Yeah. It's too bad because I would have liked an additional evolution. back in the day. Even though everybody was like, oh, I don't want him to evolve into Raichu because Pikachu is the cutest, because everybody was obsessed with the TV show.
Yeah, no one fucking evolved their Pikachu.
It's the truth.
Take that Thunderstone and use it on Eevee to get a Jolteon.
There you go.
Exactly.
All right, it's time to get into topic of the show. And we've got that interview with Kara, who is the community manager from Monomi Park, who made Slime Rancher. It's a game Allie and I were totally obsessed with. So we're going to bring you through that right after this break. Thank you so much for being on the GOGcast.
Thank you guys so much for having me. I'm really happy to be here.
Awesome. So I'm sitting around the digital table with yourself and Allie because we are huge Slime Rancher fans.
We are indeed. We should, like, is there a name for Slime Rancher fans? Has your community kind of like given themselves the title yet?
We usually just say ranchers. I don't know if there's another term out there, but that's the one that I use and that I've seen used the most.
It's better than slime heads. That's what, yeah. I was gonna go with.
I mean, you could try that. I don't think I've heard that one. You could definitely pass it around and see if it sticks.
Slime
it
aficionados, maybe? Yeah. But you would know best because you are the community manager at Monomi Park for Slime Rancher, correct?
Correct.
Yep. Awesome. So before we get into all the details about the game, I always like to find out, you know, what you're into and how you got involved in the video game industry.
Well, I grew up in Florida, and there I didn't really have a lot of access to video games growing up. It wasn't like a big part of most of my life. I ended up going over to my cousin's house most of the time, and that's where I saw the latest and greatest video games. And one of the ones that super stuck out to me was Half-Life. They had just got Orange Box, and I saw that, and the gravity gun and everything blew my mind. And I thought, okay, these video games are definitely something. I should look into them. And about a year or so later, I ended up getting a job at GameStop, where I worked for the next 8 years, even alongside going to college and maintaining other morning jobs. And I spent almost every paycheck on video games. I caught up as quickly as I could and ended up going to gaming conventions and all of these crazy awesome things where I met a lot of the people that I know today and how I ended up with this job.
Amazing. So working at GameStop, it's not very often that we get to speak to somebody who worked in the retail industry a bit, and then also being a girl, growing up and going through that. How was your time at GameStop?
I loved it. GameStop is where I'm one of those weird people that really, really loved retail. I mostly just loved being there and talking to people about video games all day. Mm-hmm. And I know there's this really common idea that employees at GameStop just sit around and play video games. We don't play video games all day, but we do talk about video games all day. And that was awesome. And one of my favorite things was seeing customers come in and you learn what their favorite game is. Kind of like what you're doing with me right now. You've learned their whole story. And that was my job. Every single day I would go into work and people would come in and tell me about what game they're into or what they're looking for, or they're, you know, questioning maybe they should get a DS or maybe they should get this, and they want some opinions, and I just sit there and talk to them about video games. And I found out that apparently is kind of a job, because I was doing, if you think about it, community management for GameStop. And then I found out that I can go to events and talk to people about a video game or talk to people about a product or something and hear what they're into. And it once again blew my mind, and I started looking around and figuring out, how do I get a job like that? And the rest is history, I guess.
That's excellent. And did you go to school to do communications for community management, or did you just kind of fall into it?
I actually went to school for psychology.
Wow.
Yeah, psychology and creative writing. I'm really into the way people think and what they are into. And I actually worked as a behavioral therapist for about 3 years at a school. And like I said, while I was doing that, I was maintaining my job at GameStop nights because I could not quit. I stepped down from a management position just to work as like a basic employee a couple nights a week just to continue to talk to people about video games.
That's amazing.
You definitely got into the right line of work.
Yeah, it's awesome. I still have this weird feeling like this can't be real. right? Like, I can't be working with Slime Rancher, this adorable, amazing game, and I get to talk to people about Slime Rancher all the time. And I go in and I play the game and do game captures, and sometimes I get distracted and accidentally end up playing whenever I'm done getting my game capture. But my job is hanging out with slimes and Slime Rancher, and that's amazing.
So how did Slime Rancher come into fruition, and when were you brought into the whole process?
So the studio was founded in 2014, and that was with Nick and Mike, who are two co-founders. Nick is currently the game director and our CEO, and Mike is the lead engineer. They knew each other previously from Three Rings, and they decided to strike out on their own and do their own thing. And Nick had this crazy idea of wanting to create some sort of insanely fun ball pit is kind of the way that he's described it. He really likes that ball pit feeling. One of the examples he's given is in Elder Scrolls, you could take hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of one item and put it into a room, and that was crazy fun. And he was like, there's something here. And he took that kernel of an idea and turned it into Slime Rancher.
That's wild. And
yeah, so they were founded in 2014. We launched the game in early access in 2016. It full released August 2017, and I joined the team in October of that year as well, which, kind of funny enough, I had been working with the team at my previous job. I was at WeLoFine, and I was working on the Slime Rancher merchandise with them for a couple of months, and then I found out they're hiring and couldn't help myself. And yeah, I've been with the team for a couple of months now, and it's amazing.
Very wow. Cool. I was actually lucky enough to meet Nick at E3 in 2016.
And, oh, cool.
Yeah, we were actually presenting our games side by side, and it was really funny because you had Outlast on one side and Slime Rancher on the next, I'm like right beside it. And I was like, okay, well, that's interesting. But it immediately caught my eye because, like you said, it's just so happy. Mm-hmm. Like, you just see these little adorable slimes bouncing around, and immediately I was totally drawn to it. So I can see how you couldn't resist the urge.
Right. I remember seeing one of the trailers whenever the game first launched in early access and thinking, what in the world is this, and why do I need to play it? I couldn't comprehend from the trailer what the game even was, but it was so cute, and I knew I just had to play it. And from there, I followed the development and played the game here and there, and to see where it is today is awesome, and to be on the team is something that I never thought would happen.
The aesthetic's so amazing, all of it. It's just so approachable. Even the tars, like, they're gorgeous and they're fun, and even though they're supposed to be mean, and the feral slimes and stuff, they're just like, I don't care. It's also calming even at its most chaotic moments. What's your favorite aspect of the game?
Ooh, favorite aspect. One of my favorite things is probably just running around and exploring. I like finding really pretty corners of the game and just sitting down and appreciating that bit. I recently sent a screenshot to Nick, and it's one of the first areas in, like, whenever you first go and there's this roundabout area and a big column in the middle. Mm-hmm. And I told him, I was like, I don't know why, but I think I'm in love with the spot. I just love the fact that there's a little tree here and there's a little fence in the background. And beyond that, you see a little bit of green and then a bunch of mountains. And I think I really like this spot. And I do stuff like that all the time where, like I said, I'll be in the game trying to get a capture, and then I find myself getting distracted and going off and playing or exploring. And exploring is definitely one of my favorite things. And finding those little quiet spots in the game is another really enjoyable thing that I get lost doing often.
So do you do all the captures when it comes to, like, when new releases came out, like when the Quick Slimes came out?
Not the videos. I mostly do the gift captures and things you see for the promotional stuff. The videos, awesome. We have a video guy that works on it. He's dedicated to it. He's Keith. He's great. They've been working with him for forever, as far as I know. And he handles all of our trailers.
Oh, that's awesome. So obviously, since even hitting early access, it seems like you guys had a steady outpouring of content as things come down the line recently with that update. Also, too, it sounds like news-wise, you guys are coming to PS4 and getting a retail release. That's got to be exciting.
Yeah, it's really exciting. I am super stoked to be playing on PlayStation. We have an Xbox One. We don't often have it connected. We tend to play, me and my partner play on PlayStations together, mm-hmm. and I'm really stoked to see what the PlayStation community thinks about the game. I know they've been asking for it for a while, and I'm over the moon and can't wait to finally have it on PlayStation. Like, we've been on Xbox and PC for a while now, and I think it's about time. Mm. And then the retail release, that I don't know, it's just really surreal to think that Slime Rancher is going to be at GameStop and people can just go in and pick it up and see the cute little slimes all over the box and look at it, and the kid might pick it up for the first time and go like, "Mom, look at this game, this looks really fun, can I get it?" And the mom could just buy them Slime Rancher and take it home and they'll put it in and play it. It's really cool. It's a novel thing that you don't really think about anymore now that we're in that digital age, with kids being in stores and browsing for games physically and maybe not knowing about it and being attracted by a picture on a box and just grabbing it and going with it.
And it's definitely a family-friendly title. So mm-hmm. I think you could end up with a lot of folks just picking it up for that reason alone.
Yeah, I see a lot of parents that even say that they pick it up for themselves and then, or no, they pick it up for their kids and then they end up getting into it themselves, or even vice versa, where they pick it up and then their kids are taking the controller away from them and trying to play the game.
Allie, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
Well, I was just going to touch on the fact you mentioned how, you know, there's been a steady stream of content mm-hmm. added to the game since it's launched. And I mean, I just have to say, it's so impressive to see so many updates coming out of a relatively small team. Mm-hmm. There's just been nonstop additions to the world, you know, and that's been great to see.
Yeah, and that's one of the strong points of the guys going into this. So Nick and Mike, like I mentioned earlier, had worked together at Three Rings, and they're really comfortable and really familiar with working and managing a live game. And whenever they were looking into releasing Early Access, Nick kind of realized that Early Access is basically like having a live game, and he started treating it that way, where every update, there's a big, meaty, awesome piece of content that's coming with it, and we're adding all this new stuff all the time, and old players are really excited and are really happy about the new stuff that's being added, and then you have a chance to introduce the game to new players, and if you just keep that cycle going, you're going to constantly have your old players being refreshed with new content, and they're going to be really happy and really pumped about the game, and they're going to have an opportunity to bring in new players with this new content, and they may have seen Slime Rancher 10 times before and haven't really, you know, decided to pick it up, and then they'll see, oh wow, there's this new zone and there's this new slime and they're still adding stuff, yeah, I guess I'll get it, and everybody's happy.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, some titles struggle with longevity and keeping a game alive, and I'm really glad that that's not the case with Slime Rancher. You know, it mm-hmm. seems like it has so much life already in it and so much life left to live. And just with the latest, you know, Mochi's Megabucks update, that was great. I mean, so much fun. Mm-hmm. And it's so different too. Every single update has been different so far. And yeah, almost like a you know, a different side of the game.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm a little jealous with new players coming in, and they get to experience all the content together. And that's something that us, having played the game already, won't be able to really experience all of it as one big chunk. And I'm a little bit jealous about the new players coming in, because I played it with just little bits at a time, growing and growing and growing into what it is today. And that was really cool and a different novel experience. But the idea of jumping into Slime Rancher and all that stuff already being there is really cool. Mm-hmm. And I hope people really enjoy everything as it is today.
Well, speaking about those updates, you're often doing updates that not just adding more content, new slimes and places to explore, you're often doing updates to help, you know, the farming or the ranching side of it, mm-hmm. like the increase of the silos in the space. Do you, being a community manager, do you take feedback from the community, like, you know, saying that they need more space to be able to store, for those of us that are collectathon crazy, and bring in that information from the community to help develop the game?
Yeah, absolutely. We're always listening to the community. We have our own forums where people go and they post about ideas and things that they think would make the game better. We have mega threads whenever we release an update where people go in and they give us feedback. And we're always looking at that and taking it into account and thinking about it whenever we're working on new content. And the storage update, like you mentioned, that was something that we had originally planned to just have as part of another update. But we saw that there was such a need for it and the community really, really wanted it that we just went ahead and released it without having all the other, like, we were gonna kind of postpone it into another update, but we were like, no, you know, people really want this and we can make this better than they expected and release it today. And that's what we ended up doing with that update, and I think people really enjoyed it. I saw lots of people going and reorganizing their range or their farms and coming up with crazy new things to store, and they were finally able to clean up all the stuff from Wiggly Wonderland, and everyone seems really happy with that update.
Yeah, it's definitely a great one. I know I really appreciated it because I'm the type of rancher that I've got like a gazillion things collected because you never know when you might need something.
Right.
Hoard everything.
All the time. Have you seen behind me right now? It's kind of crazy. You never know when you need something. Continuing on the community standpoint, it looks like you've got some very talented community members who have drawn some amazing fan art. Do you have any favorites?
I have a lot of favorites. I actually have a whole Trello board dedicated to some of my favorite fan art that I just pull aside. And since I mentioned we moved into a new office, and I've talked to a couple of the community artists, I want to print all of those out, get really nice high quality prints, and have a big chunk of the office dedicated to really beautiful, really incredible fan art. And I was going to say something else and I lost it.
That's okay.
Fan art's cool.
It is.
You know, talking about beautiful things, what is one of the most creative things that you've seen come out of the community? Someone who took their love of Slime Rancher to just like the next level.
One of the things that caught me off guard, and I don't know why, because it seemed a little obvious, but whenever I saw it, it just struck me as I was just in awe, was the cube slime update that someone made. Someone did a mod of the game where they turned all the slimes into cubes. And I was just crawling through all these videos that our community were making as they're exploring through this mod and seeing the poor little slime faces like in represented in ways that they weren't meant to be. But they just looked so cute. It was awesome. Like the puddle slime is this weird little cubey thing with ridiculously spaced out eyes and then the littlest bit of like a puddle skirt underneath it.
I'm gonna have to go look that up. That sounds amazing. I played it on Xbox, so I haven't encountered any of the mods yet, and it's that's like a whole area that I haven't gone down for additional content to while I wait for more stuff from you guys.
They aren't official mods, but they are out there in the community.
Exactly. Yeah. That's expected, PC gamers.
Right. And art-wise, outside of the mod community, I think a lot of the things that I really enjoy in general is whenever people come up with their own slimes, and they come up with these crazy ideas behind them. They don't just say, hey, we should have a raccoon slime or something, and it's cute. But whenever they come up with this whole, like, plot behind the existence of the slime and how it interacts with the world and what its plorts do. They kind of write their big Slimepedia article where they say what people back on Earth are using the slime plorts for and what they're doing with the world, and they come up with the different largos and different abilities that it has and kind of how it can wreak havoc on your ranch and how it's used for good and evil. And I think that's really fun whenever I see a lot of thought put behind a new slime idea. That's one of my favorites.
I need to ask, where did you come up with the term plort?
I actually don't know that. You should tweet Nick and ask him.
I will, because like it's such it. Because when Allie explained it originally, Allie, remember when you phrased it, you were like, "Yeah, you're farming these slimes, and then they poop out these things, these gems, and then you collect them together." And I was like, "So you're collecting poop? What? Yeah, like that's the monetary value in this?"
There's really no way to explain it that didn't end up, you know, basically coming to the conclusion that you're collecting poop.
But the term plort is so awesome because it's like you still get the satisfactory poop, like pee, but it's more elegant because you added that L in there, plort. Like, it's such a great word.
I wouldn't be surprised if Nick's explanation was that he wanted a more elegant word for poop.
All right, I'm gonna have to tweet him later.
Yeah, you've got it.
So what's next for Slime Rancher? Obviously, with the update, with the retail release and PS4 release, any more updates coming?
Yeah, we still have some more content coming out. We have some stuff that's on our development roadmap. So we have the automatic update that's going to be coming out hopefully pretty soon. And then Victor's experimental update that'll be coming out later this year as well. And then we have some additional content that hasn't been announced that'll be releasing this year, of course. And hopefully development on Slime Rancher after that will just keep going. We haven't seen any slowdown from the community. We still see lots of people playing and lots of people really into it. And as long as we have that, we'll still continue to support it. Like, we're actively continuing to develop Slime Rancher and don't really have any plans to stop anytime soon.
Cool. And is that all that Monomi Park is working on right now? Because I notice you're hiring.
We are hiring. We will eventually work on a game too, but like I mentioned, we don't want to drop support on Slime Rancher. So if we want to start working on something else, we need to staff up to get more people to keep their eyes on Slime Rancher and to continue generating that content and feeding the community, especially if people are still really into the game.
That's great to hear.
Yeah. And how many are you at the studio right now?
My answer that would have happened not too long ago would have been 9, but we actually just hired 2 more. So that'll bring us, oh my gosh, this brings us up to 11. So we're going to have 11 full-time employees. We will have 9 in office, 2 remote, and hopefully we'll be hiring 2 more pretty soon.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Before I wrap up our interview, want to just ask Allie if she had any additional questions to ask?
Yeah, I actually have 2. One's a really hard-hitting question, so I'm gonna save that one for last.
I'll strap in for that one.
My first question is, though, do you think we'll ever see the story and the NPCs of Slime Rancher kind of explored in another format? Because I mean, you guys created this really special little story that, I mean, in the scope of things, you know, it's this beautiful little piece of storytelling, and it's a very small part of the Slime Rancher experience, but I think it's something that hit home to a lot of people. Mm-hmm. With really interesting NPCs, and I'm kind of curious if we'd ever get to delve deeper into that or hear more about their adventures in kind of a bigger way.
Mm-hmm. So the expansions or the additional content in Slime Rancher so far has been focused on an NPC and exploring their story a little bit further. Like with the most recent Mochi update, you got to know a little bit about her backstory. But you're right, there is a lot there, even with that expansion and additional info that I'm sure could be explored in a number of ways. And I know Nick has some crazy stuff brewing in the back of his mind. He definitely has a lot more in his head than is in the game. So I short answer, I wouldn't be surprised. Long answer, no official plans, but I think that there is a lot there that can be explored. I would be really excited to see more on Ogden. He's one of my favorites. And yes. I know a lot of people have been joking around about like a Bob update, which would be, I don't know what that would be.
Chickens for everybody.
Yeah, there are lots of ideas out there. There's no shortage of requests for Bob expansion.
How would you tell a story with Bob? Like, honestly. No
writing the copy for that would be very interesting.
Yep.
Well, fingers crossed we'll see, you know, Slime Rancher appear in our lives in other ways.
I would really hope so.
I really want to buy one of those plushies for my office. But the question is which one?
Which actually leads me to my next question, which is the tough question. So
hold on, before the tough one, can I linger on the plushies for a second?
Oh yeah.
You guys, just give me your addresses.
Okay. I will send those along.
For sure.
Yeah, please. Come on. Everyone should just have their offices covered in slimes. You shouldn't have to decide between 1 or 2 or 10.
I have to agree on that one. have to.
They're so damn cute though, but like I think that's what's so endearing about the game is you want to collect them and farm them and find out what Largos they're going to make because they're so damn cute.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you want to collect them and farm them and hoard them. Looking at you.
it's a bad thing until you get to the point where you have so many and so many Largos and they're producing so many plorts that it can't handle it anymore and your game starts to chug because I've got like 20 different Largos in all over my farm of different types in different bins in different places. Oh my goodness, it was insane.
Oh gosh.
But it was so pretty. It was so pretty though with I think it's when you make the Largos of the mosaic ones, they sparkle and explode.
Yeah, beautiful and very dangerous.
And chaotic.
Mm-hmm. All right, so Allie, hard hitting. I have my hat on. I'm ready to go.
Yeah. You're prepared.
I've got to ask you, what is your favorite slime? Okay, that was my response. When Leah asked me, I was like,
how do you pick just one?
This has taken me months. I'm not even joking. Months to figure out because this is a question that is asked. And I have found that more often than not, my heart belongs to the rock slime.
Oh,
sweet little blue boy.
Oh, they're so cute.
Yeah, you'll see my Twitter banner is two very adorable rock slimes. And every time you see them.
And do you like them in their OG form or do you like it when they're in Largo form?
I prefer them OG. If we're going Largos, then Honey is always a good one to go for. Tabby, you can't go wrong. Like they're all pretty dang adorable. But rock slime, one time I broke open a crate and a rock slime came out and I teared up a little.
Oh.
And I'm not being dramatic. So I broke awesome. It open and he popped out and just had this cute little smile and looked at me. And he has these little, like, the front rocks look like little arms. And he looks like he's just sitting there, like, dancing a little. And I posted about it in Slack and no one responded to me. No one feeds into my crazy delusions of
we'll feed into those delusions. They're okay. Not delusions for us. We're part of that passionate
fan base. Next time you see a rock slime, just look into its eyes.
We'll think of you.
All right, Allie, now you actually have to answer. What's your favorite?
I've like it's taken a while, and so like I mean I feel like this is kind of a cop out because they're so rare, but I really do like the Lucky slimes.
Lucky is adorable. Mm.
They're so cute.
They are.
They're so cute. But
yeah, I'm spoiled. I can spawn Luckies into our development build and just look at them and they don't run away. I'm very spoiled.
If I had to pick just a regular one though, probably have to go with the Honey slimes.
Yeah, they're cute.
Yeah, they're really adorable. Or the phosphors.
Mm. Oh, yes.
You can't choose. You can't choose.
Right. And it's tough. So my likes are always rock slime is my rock, you know? That'll be my one. But day-to-day basis, it kind of changes. So some days I'll be really into phosphors because they're just the cutest little glow bellies in the world. Yeah. And then other days I'm like, oh, look, Honey, so sweet. And no one knows what they're up to. They just think they're so sweet. And then other days it just changes.
Yeah, I'm all about those mosaics. There's something about them. They look like stained glass windows, meet prisms, meet awesomeness, and they make very, very interesting Largos.
Mm-hmm. Meets death by fire. Meets
cute and deadly. That I'm okay with that. Kara, thank you so much for being on the show. We really appreciate it. Before I let you run away, if you could push your social media and the company's social media so that everybody could go track down Slime Rancher and play it for themselves.
Yeah, so we're just Monami Park on Twitter, so you just spell out the company name, you got it. And then I'm Kairomatic. It's a little funky spelling because someone took my normal handle. It's Kairomatic, Kairomatic. And yeah, that's where you can find me. That's where you can find Monami Park and all of our doings with Slime Rancher.
Awesome. Thank you again. This has been awesome. I can't wait to play more. And tell your team they're making great things.
Mm-hmm. I love them. I will. Thank you guys so much for your support. And thank you for having me on your podcast.
thank you so much for listening to this episode of the GOG Cast. Before I let you run away, of course, want to thank Fun.io, our wonderful website hosting partner. If you're looking for some WordPress hosting or maybe something larger, you want to make a big e-commerce website or something like that, you can go check them out. Stream Team, how's it going there, Simon?
Got some pretty fun stuff happening over at the Xbox Canada and their community spotlight. So we had three members of the Stream Team featured in the Mixer community spotlight. We had Gaming.Geek. We also had at one point Asika, and now it's our very own 8-Bit Blonde who's been featured in the community spotlight. So they asked her some questions and talked to her a little bit about Mixer, about how she got started and that kind of stuff. So really cool. Go check it out on the Xbox Canada's Twitter. And also GOG, because we retweeted it.
Yes, of course. Thank you so much to Xbox Canada. They're awesome with their support.
Yeah, very cool.
Mm-hmm. How about that website, Catherine? What's there to read?
Well, right now we have a lot of podcasts for you guys. So Of Buffs and Derps is back. Episode 14 is up. The case of esports and streaming with Ninja and Fortnite.
We disagreed again. Second episode in a row.
Beautiful. It's okay. That makes it, if you all agreed all the time, it'd be boring.
It's true.
Yeah. And if you want to check out those E3 drinks, just use a little search at the top. Mm-hmm. It's the first thing you see completely at the right, and just put in E3 drink and you will get all these wonderful recipes. And it doesn't need to be E3 for you to make them.
No.
They're just great drinks to hang out on the terrace with your friends.
It's starting to get nice up now, so.
Exactly. Exactly. All right. I want to thank everybody on the panel for being here today. Catherine, where can people track you down?
I'm CSDSBINS, CSDBien, on Twitter and Instagram. That's mostly where I hang out. And the Girls on Games Discord.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Simon? Where can people find you?
I am GOG Simon M on Twitter, and we talked a little bit about Buffs and Nerves, which is the eSport podcast. Of course, wonderfully sponsored by Girls on Games. And episode 14 is out, so if you want to come listen to that, it's at Buffs and Nerves on Twitter. We also have a YouTube, and we also have a Discord as well. So if you want to come chat about eSports and stuff, it's discord.me/oban, OBAN.
Awesome. And if you want to track me down, I am Leah Jewer, most social media platforms, GOG Leah on Xbox Live and Mixer. But of course, you want to know everything there is to know about Girls on Games, and you can follow us on Twitter and Facebook at The Girls on Games. We are Girls on Games, no the at the beginning of that, on Instagram, discord.me/girls on games to continue this lovely conversation and more, because yes, we like everything to do with food and pop culture and pets. Yeah, so go converse with us over there. But of course, if you ever need to know anything at all, you can track it down at our home base. That is our website, girlsongames.ca. So thank you, Kat. Thank you, Simon. Thank you, Allie and Kara, for being on the show as well. And we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy. Go play some games. Bye.
Bye-bye.